Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Playing a culture map and sports map on October 25th for the tailgate, an all-out celebration of Houston sports and the fans who cheer them on. Savor tailgate-inspired bites from your favorite restaurants, including FM Kitchen, Twin Peaks, The Waffle Bus, and much, much more. Plus, sip on signature drinks and enjoy game day activities and entertainment. A limited number of early bird tickets are on sale now at tailgate.culturemap.com. Tickets start at just $35, include all food and all drink. Go to tailgate.culturemap.com to get your tickets today. Went last year. It was fantastic. You do not want to miss that. You'll be full. You will be, your thirst will be quenched. It is a fantastic event. You want to take advantage of that, and it is worth every single dime. All right, Astros season is over. They are the American League West champions. Spoiler alert. They won the American League West. Thank you, Seattle, for beating up on the Rangers. That was the ironic part of this whole thing, was that Seattle, of all people, were the team that beat the Rangers, so you got in. So you made both fan bases unhappy, which is great. What would you give the Astros regular season grade? Let's go letter grade on this one, like old high school, whatever. You know, maybe a little different in Wisconsin. You know, lower standardized testing, things like
don't
that.
Don't do that. What don't is do the- that. Don't ruffle the feathers.
I mean, Illinois, Wisconsin, I mean, what do they teach up there?
Don't shake the udders.
What is the Astros regular season grade in 2023?
I'm going to go B. I'm going to go with a B. I was going B minus, but they won the division. So I'm going to go B. I just, to me, you had to endure a lot, and you survived. I do question whether if they had made different decisions throughout the year from, you know, who plays and when they play, and also the fact that they had shortcomings against the worst teams in baseball, that it could have been better. So I can't go A, but I can't go any lower than a B because of how many guys stepped up, how many great stories became part of the reason why you were still relevant, and then at the very end, you actually capitalized enough to get to a place that I don't think anybody thought going into the weekend you could get. So I believe that it was a really good year based on all the circumstances they had to deal with. And I think they could have been better, but I'll say B.
All right, so you give them a solid B for the regular season. Joe George, letter grade, Illinois, not grading on a curve, anything like that. What is your, and your father was in the education industry. He was in that space. Still is. Shout out to teachers, underpaid, underappreciated, especially nowadays.
Shout out Texas City High School.
Shout out Stingarees. Stingarees, right?
I don't know.
I think they're the Stingarees. You can't shout out a high school and not know their nickname. I just know
that's where he works.
I think it's Stingarees. All right, what is your letter grade for?
A-minus.
A-minus.
Like, you have no Luis Garcia, no Lance McCullers. Yordan and Altuve miss months of baseball. Like, Urquidy misses huge chunks of time. You have to reacquire Justin Verlander. You have the ups and downs of a rookie in Hunter Brown. Like, you missed, like, Ryan Pressly. Like, he was up and down this year. I think it's an A-minus. As stressful as it was towards the end of the year and how bad they played against the Royals and the A's, they dealt with all those injuries, all of that stuff, and they still won the division after everything. Like, they're still the king of the West. They still got a bye. It's an A-minus. And honestly, I think that might be light.
Okay. I should have went before you. I also give it an A-minus. Like, it's all about where you end up, right? Like, what is the goal of the regular season? Goal of the regular season should be winning the division. If you want to say make the playoffs is the first goal, winning the division is the second goal, clinching a bye in the first round is the third goal, best record, home field advantage throughout is the fourth goal, and then just having the best record in all of Major League Baseball is the fifth goal. Because the Astros won the division and don't have to play in the wild card series, and I know it was frustrating. I know it thinned your hair and made it gray. I know all of those things. They still won this division, and they don't have to play in the wild card round, so they're going to be playing baseball this weekend. most of the teams in all of Major League Baseball aren't making the playoffs. Some of these teams in the wild card round, half of them, aren't going to make it to the weekend. I have to give the Astros an A-, even though it was incredibly frustrating. We coined it the most frustrating Astro regular season in the golden era, which I will double down on. It absolutely was that. Takes you to the final day. You needed a minor miracle to win the division. But if you win the division and you don't have to play in the wild card round, I'm giving the Houston Astros a letter grade of A- for the 2023 regular season. 713.
And I understand where you guys are coming from, but I hope you understand from my perspective too. Like, there was,
you're a harsh grader.
Well, that's fine, and that means you got to do better, and you should focus more and concentrate on the attention to detail.
There's not a whole lot better they could have done, though. The only
you don't know that if he doesn't go with some of these backward ass lineups down the stretch, you don't know if they couldn't have won.
But there's only one team they could have jumped. In the regular season, there's only one team they could have jumped. So the only thing that they could have done better was be the one seed, not the two seed.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that they were a better team for the they could have, through the totality of everything, with the roster that I see and the upgrades that they made along the way, and the production they got out of guys you didn't expect. I think they're a better overall team than Baltimore. I think they should have had the best record in the American League, or they could have. And in my opinion, they should have, and that's why I couldn't go A-.
I think they're a better team than Baltimore, too, for what it's worth. Now, you know, the injuries. Altuve was gone for a long time. Yordan gone for a long time. Luis Garcia pitched in, what, like four games? Or Keedy would have been nice to have the whole year. Lance McCullers would have been nice to, you know, pitch three games and then get hurt again. Like, that would have been nice if Lance McCullers to pitch in three games and then get hurt again. 713-780-3776. Ocho, I'm the one who thinks the Astros would have won the AL West comfortably if the teams were properly managed. So I give them a regular season grade of A4. He said ASS. Ocho did. Honey Glaze Branham. Wait, I can't read that from Honey Glaze Branham. What am I thinking? Jacob, Astros regular season gets a B-. Won the division but didn't dominate. That's a harsh grade for winning the division and having a two seed in the American League West. Like, it was stressful. Totally understand. Minor miracle in the final weekend. But a B- when you're the two seed in the AL West.
Don't you also think, like, if you have a student that you know is underachieving?
Well, now you're grading on a curve. That's not fair to the student who's underachieving. Like, if the student who's underachieving is still performing better than the student who's overachieving, why would you grade them equally?
I'm saying from the person that still insisted on B-, it's because from their perspective as a teacher, looking at a student that's been excelling their entire time at that school or whatever, that they underachieved.
But now you're not grading the kid on the
production.
Right.
It's not. It's definitely grading on a curve.
If you have a really smart kid in a math class and you have a really dumb kid in a math class, not that we believe there are any dumb kids in math classes, and the smart kid hits 80% of their questions and the dumb kid hits 70%, the dumb kid doesn't deserve a better grade than the smart kid.
But you know that teachers in the past have done exactly that.
That's criminal.
They've been harsh on kids that they expected more or saw more and should have gotten more out of.
7544, he says B-. 2422 says C-. That is incredibly harsh.
How do you even broach a C when you win the division?
Just barely passable? Well, I mean, that's been another topic of conversation.
That depends on where you went to school.
Is a D passable in your mind, Joe?
No.
You're wrong.
I said the same thing.
Only an F is not passing.
No, because if you have two Ds, you're ineligible. At least in Illinois, that's how it was.
Well, Illinois is backwards.
Illinois and Wisconsin believe C was passing.
713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRMP listener line for Ryan. Ryan, you're in the Hive. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Ryan?
I'll give it a 10. I'll give it a 10, man. They did it without the use of mound visits. They did it with all the injuries, and they're still playing this weekend. The Rangers can suck on it. Y'all take it easy.
Ryan loves himself some mound visits, and I appreciate that he does. Now, Ryan, I question if you really knew the exercise, because we went with a letter grade, not a number grade, but I do appreciate that math student you're talking about. Right, but I also appreciate the reference from Ryan. So, like, I don't know how to take that call. Like, he dropped in a reference that I like. Two references that I liked. He got the number instead of a letter. Let's grade Ryan's call. I'll give Ryan a B-.
I'll give him a 7.
Well played. 9-6-4-8. They only needed one extra win in 6 months, and Dusty's lineups put them in that situation. Okay, you didn't give his grade, but I'm assuming that that's not good. 0-5-8-8. B+. Look at the curve as A's, as if Braves equal A+. Oh, A's is an F. Braves is an A+. Most C's playoff teams. Best teams equals A plus. I don't know if you can give a playoff team a C.
I don't think you can either.
Like, that seems pretty low.
You met one of your goals, and you actually two of them, because you had a winning season enough to get into the playoffs, which is the first goal that everybody has. So you not maybe grossly overachieved, but you overachieved from the average. So I think you got to start in the B.
See, I don't like the expectations you have. Like, I do not use those as regular season grades. Like, my regular season grades go as this: if you have the best record in baseball, you're an A plus. Mm-hmm. Like, best record in baseball, you're an A plus. If you have home field advantage in your league, that is an A. If you have a division championship and then a top two seed, that way you don't have to play in the wild card round. That to me is an A minus. B plus if you win a division wild card round. And then a B if you qualify for the playoffs. And the expectations things I don't consider, because you shouldn't have that from students and letter grades. So because the Astros won the division, they got a top two seed, they're an A minus for me. If they didn't get the division and they were in the wild card round, they would have been a B. So that the difference came down to the final day. They were able to get the questions at the very end right. Those last three questions were going to swing their grade from a B to an A minus, and they finished strong.
And I, you know, slightly see it differently simply because of the fact that I saw a team, I saw, like, on the test, you made I don't want to say stupid, because that's an S word. My kids taught me you're not allowed to say.
You just did.
I'm not going to use it in this scenario, though. I just said the word stupid. You didn't make smart decisions in a story problem when you were trying to use all the reasoning that you had in front of you. And because of it, you maybe got a couple wrong. You shouldn't have gotten wrong.
3747, or Devin, he says Ryan is clearly a numbers guy like Lance. I like the burn there. 6417, A, but two games away from an F. That's the other thing. Like, I think that every team that misses the playoff gets an F. Sorry. I don't care if you're a rebuilding team that has the arrow pointed up. You miss the playoffs, that's an F regular season. Now, sometimes it's good to be an F in the regular season if you're tanking. Like the Texans last year, you want to attain that F, not a D. But if you miss the playoffs, I'm at an F.
So it's safe to say for Seattle and their fan base, F you. Because you deserve the F you got for not making the playoffs.
I mean, if you want to go there. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Willie, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Always.
I get a team of A, and if Dusty was coaching on the East League and on the East Coast or the West Coast, he'll be a second or third in manager of the year. Okay. People around here, especially that call, you all show and the other show, wouldn't know a decent lineup if they seen one. The only thing I don't like about it, he ain't played Doobie enough.
Doobie's final 2 months have been pretty good.
Doobie's been really good this month. Appreciate the call, Willie. Appreciate the insult as well. 4693.
Set a caller.
Fair enough. 4693 B plus overcame Dusty's lineup injuries and regression from big arms. A young guy stepped up, and the three stars were stars when on the field. Tucker was the MVP. 8881 says just grade by the games won. Now I like to look at where you finished seating. All right, how would you grade the Astros season? 713-780-3776. Now let's grade CJ Stroud. We've been doing our golf grade for CJ Stroud, and it's relevant this week because of the whole Ryder Cup thing. Yeah. Great CJ Stroud's performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers as a golf grade. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Something that you need to be doing tonight. There's football tonight, right? It's Monday, NFL season. That means there's some Monday Night Football. Where can you watch Monday Night Football? Where should you watch Monday Night Football? At Little Woodrow's. Head over to Little Woodrow's and catch the game tonight. They have game days covered better than anyone else. It's my favorite sports bar in Houston. I'm there every week. It's also your spot to catch the Stros in the playoffs, especially the Edo location, which is within walking distance of Minute Maid Park. Big parties before the game, during the game, and after the game. Large patios with HD TVs, jumbotrons with all the sports you want to watch, and never a bad seat in the house. Fall weather will be here before we know it. Can't come soon enough. Postseason baseball back. Football is going on nearly every day. It's Woodrow's season. Little Woodrow's is a casual backyard bar that you can find all over H-Town. Game day bucket specials, daily drink specials, great food, whether it's a location with a kitchen or a spot with food trucks. It's all fantastic. Steak night's my favorite. Good times and colder beer. Local bites at Southern Hospitality at its finest. Make Little Woodrow's your happy hour spot, your game day location, or just where you relax on the patio. Good drinks and good company. And it's pet friendly. Three new locations coming soon. Sugarland, Webster, and a new one in Edo. Little Woodrow's, where sports come alive and good times never end. B's blank. I'm Branham. We've been giving golf grades to C.J. Stroud because there's 18 holes, if you will, for C.J. Stroud. Don't say that around Deshaun Watson. First one is the preseason for C.J. Stroud, and then you have 17 games of C.J. Stroud. So it comes out to 18, again, holes, which is kind of relevant today because Europe beat to the U.S. in the Ryder Cup.
I watched.
They whipped up on him pretty good. I did. I was Benedict Branham. And I did win the Ryder Cup bet that I made at Circa. I also won the Astros win the division bet.
Oh, that's true. So
great weekend. Great weekend for Branham. I added some extra gentle Ben this weekend because it was such a good weekend.
Now we just got to fly to Vegas and cash it.
Yeah, I mean, I go to Vegas enough. Joe LaCava.
Oh, boy.
he walked
spicy.
Up. He walked up on Rory McIlroy. Yeah. I mean, not that Rory's
by the car.
Fight.
But yeah. McIlroy was going to be
well, Rory. Rory's giving him the what, too? What for? He got into his chili.
Man, that was at least that was the drama that everybody loves that you don't expect to see in golf.
What an embarrassment by Joe LaCava. Some silly caddy walking up on one of the greatest players in the world during the Ryder Cup. Know your role.
I love the
Joe LaCava.
Ran into the water.
That was hilarious.
But it was also like I give it a C minus.
The dismount was not great.
If you're gonna do it, you gotta go full belly flop.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go full belly flop.
Do the full straight-out dive, Superman dive?
Well, because you don't know how deep it is. So, like, I feel like you can't go head first. So you got to make sure your head's...
It was straight-out dive.
Yeah. But, like, you got a full-out belly flop, Superman. You can't just jump in the way he did, but it was still incredible.
Did you see the caddy, like, look at him? And, like, he was going to go after him for a second. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, he's not of any harm. He's just going to the pond.
Everyone was like, what's happening? Yeah. Like, oh, this old idiot is just going to run into the pond.
If it was Joe LaCava, he probably would have confronted him.
There's more drama than we normally see in golf. Then there was the whole National Enquirer rumor mill about the dissension in Team USA and if Patrick Cantlay wouldn't wear his hat because it didn't fit right or because the sponsors and the money and they wanted to get paid. And then another one came out and said Team USA took 5 weeks off and they didn't prepare for it.
Yeah, they did that when they won the last time, though. Like, I don't know if there's any – like, they don't win on foreign soil. Whoever is the home team in the Ryder Cup has such a huge advantage because they can set the tees. They can set how deep the rough is. They can set pin locations. Like, you stack it for your team. And that's what they were talking about, like, in the early foursomes or whatever, Friday and Saturday, was that the Europeans were making it a mid-iron, course. So, because they felt that was their strength. They felt they were more accurate drivers. They felt they were better with the mid-irons. So, they fluffed up the rough as high as it could go. They made the fairways tight, and they also made it a tough, long course to where you had to play the long irons,
Zach
which
Johnson,
benefited Europe.
Not great with his picks.
Yeah.
And then did you see that where he talked?
Apparently, he didn't. The post-round stuff, he didn't do that.
Well, he sure looked like it.
It did.
I mean, every bit of video looked like they talked him out of... He put the driver back and got the 3-wood out.
Yeah.
And I thought that was more or less basically saying, Jordan, you don't have... Jordan Spieth was terrible.
He was so
His
bad.
His driver
every
was
session.
Awful.
And he played every session.
And like, then he sat Ricky out the one session.
The whole day.
Yeah, the whole day.
He's Tuesday. The whole day. I didn't think he was very good. Now, they were never going to win that Ryder Cup anyways because they're on the road, and that was the easiest money Benedict Branham's ever made. All right, golf great for C.J. Stroud. I thought it was one of his worst accuracy games, if I'm being completely honest. 16 of 20. He even talked about it after the game. Like, I didn't love my accuracy. 16
of 30, right?
16 of 30.
Yeah.
16 of 30, so it was barely above 50%. But he still threw for over 300 yards on 16 completions. They scored 30 points. They had 6 scoring drives, left some meat on the bone, 3 touchdown drives, 3 field goal drives. What would you give his golf grade?
Well, to me, I've been back and forth. I want to say that he had an eagle putt, but I want to say he lipped it out because I didn't like the completion percentage. I didn't like the fourth down execution, and I didn't really like the call either. But I was going back and forth.
See, I didn't mind the fourth down call at all. He makes a decent throw. It's an easy first down. I thought it should have been the third down play, not the fourth down play.
I could see it as a third down play.
But it was
fourth
there.
Down, I thought that it was so obtainable to get that and to have no points at all out of that. It kind of bothered me a little bit. But I'm giving him a birdie for sure, and I'm going to say he lipped out the eagle putt. I think completion percentage could have been better. It's hard to be nitpicky, but I think that when you get to a point where he actually wins a game for you like that, when, you know, he puts it on his shoulders and wins it. Not that he lost it or did anything bad, but there still is room to get better. And Eagle is really, really kind of when you're at the pinnacle, when you're really kicking butt. So I'll say another birdie.
Yeah, I gave an eagle last week on a par five. This week I'm going easy birdie, like a tap-in birdie. Uh-huh. Like he had a really good approach shot, tap-in birdie. Even with the accuracy issues, which look, he still had a really good game. Even though he was 16 of 30, he still had 306 yards. He threw two touchdowns, didn't have an interception. If you're a believer in the QBR, I'm not. It was a 76.5. If you're a believer in quarterback rating, I'm not. It was over 111. And again, like, I grade offenses based on how much they move the ball and how many drives end in points. 451 yards for the offense. C.J. Stroud is the maestro of the offense. That's incredible. The six scoring drives on 10 drives is incredible. Like, you're moving the ball. You're scoring tons of points. You're racking up tons of yards. This was a tap-in birdie for me after a great approach. C.J. Stroud gets a birdie on hole number four. Actually, this would be hole number five,
I guess. This is five. I'm birdie as well, so we're birdies across the board. I'm going to just nitpick more here of the not executing, you know, for like three straight drives before the end of the first half, the field goal, and then nothing. Where they're like, the Texans were moving the ball very well and then just coming up short. So, like, it's very nitpicky because they scored, like you said, 6 out of 10 times, but they could have boat raced.
Could have
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
24 points in the NFL is still a boat race.
So they could have.
It's not 70.
They could have Denver Broncoed them. I mean, like, they really had a chance to just keep moving the ball down the field, and they just stalled out a couple times. So, like, that's like, it was a very good game, a great win. Unless CJ Stroud's a disaster, I'm never going to give him a par or below in a victory. So it's a birdie for me.
Yeah, this is a birdie for Stroud. So where do we have him here, Joe? Do you have that up?
Yeah, I got him at a minus two. You both are even now.
Really? That feels bad.
Like it should be a little bit better.
He's been better than even through five, but we were tough on him in the preseason. We were tough on him early in the year, but has been really, really good. 7.375 is an eagle for C.J. Stroud. Okay. Like, he played really, really well. Like, 16 of 30, so what? Played really, really well.
And I don't think it's bad to get a birdie, which is, you know, what every pro would love to have on every hole that they play. It's not bad to say that there are still some things that he could do to get to an even higher level, and there's room to improve no matter how good he's been. So it's not a slap in his face by any means. I just think that there's things he can clean up, and he said it himself. Yeah. He can get better.
The things that I would nitpick, and again, I mean, listen to our show. We've been over the moon about C.J. Stroud. The things that I didn't think he was very accurate. And of the four professional games he's played in the NFL, in regular season games, I thought this was his least accurate. Now, was that because of the offensive line?
Even against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. He was pretty accurate against Baltimore. They just weren't, like, clicking on all cylinders. Like, they were a little bit sloppy. They were a little bit, like, chunky. Like, they were slow to the line. I think he was 16 to 25 against Baltimore.
I just thought that there were a few in the Baltimore game that were more, like, shoe tops or behind, which since then we haven't seen.
I mean, yesterday he's throwing behind receivers. He was underthrowing receivers. The fourth down play, like, I understand he was under duress. Yeah. I understand he was on his back foot. But that pass was there. Like, you make a decent pass. I bet you C.J. Stroud told you he should have made that pass.
He knew
what a good pass.
Yeah.
He was 28 of 44 against Baltimore. If you go strictly completion percentage, which I don't like doing because there's way more things that help tell the story, he was 64% against Baltimore, 64% against the Colts, 67% against the Jags, and then yesterday 53%. So I think it's easy to say that was his, you know, lowest accuracy game. But you still had 306 yards on 30 passes, two touchdowns, no picks. He was really, really good. We're being nitpicky here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a little – it was the most inaccurate game that we've seen from Stroud in four games. But he was still highly effective despite that, which shows you the promise that C.J. Stroud has.
You put that many points on the board and convert 6 out of 10 drives, and you have work to do to be a little bit more accurate, it's a damn good thing.
I would take that game every week. Let that be known. I would take that game every single week, but he was a little bit inaccurate. And then what Joe said, too, they did stall out in the red zone. They didn't finish some of these drives. Like, settling for three field goals, like, make that four touchdowns, two field goals. Make that five touchdowns, one field goal. They left meat on the bone.
They actually scored three times to get their first touchdown.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they just kept, and I thought this is where they're going to screw up, and they're just not going to get it in now and settle for a field goal. They actually were able to persevere after penalty, and still score. So that was a huge positive.
This texter says, one thing from this game that I love, Stroud was able to convert on third downs, and I love that. No other Texans quarterback had been able to do that consistently. They were 6 of 12 for third downs yesterday. It shows you that, yeah, they've been really good third down conversion. I think he's one of the tops in the league, too. 3,700, Texans getting that two pick has been the greatest blunder that paid off. I don't like this take because if you're a general manager and you think that Stroud's the best quarterback, then just take him at number one. Like, I don't like, but I don't know. I'm not crazy about that take. Just take Stroud at number one if he's that much better than Bryce Young, right? Now, would they have done that?
You hate to say that you've got a guy that used dumb luck to have it fallen, have the right guy fall into his lap as opposed to a guy that could evaluate talent enough to realize this was head and shoulders the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. So, and plus, you would have had a pick up in every single round. Like, I don't know. I don't love it. But whatever. They got CJ Stroud. I'm happy for that. 713-780-3776. What's your golf grade for CJ Stroud in game four of his NFL career? All right. We got to hand out some NFL game balls. Lots of football around the league yesterday. Let's hand out some game balls next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, we now know who's in and who's out in the Major League Baseball playoffs. If you're feeling strongly about the home team or you've got a team in mind or a couple of matchups in the wild card round that you want to capitalize on, maybe win some cash on, you need to go to mybookie.ag because they've got all the games, all the lines, all the chances for you to wager and win right there at mybookie.ag. And they take care of you, the customer, all along the way. They're doing it again right now. If you remember the promo code BET975, if you use it or you've used it in the past or this is your first time, but you do use it and you put in at least $50 to either a new account or an existing account, you could get up to $200 extra instantly into your account. That means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances to win. And it's only because you listen to us and you use mybookie.ag or you're going to. They have been in business for over a decade. They ain't going anywhere, which means neither is your money. And when you want to take it out, you can do that too. Take this money, for instance, that you're going to get as a bonus. Bet it again one time and win. Take it out. Do with it as you wish. Don't worry about anybody hemming and hawing and trying to keep it in there and convince you it's the wrong move to take it out. No, if you want to bet it one more time and you win with it, then you can take it out and you can have it as part of the way mybookie.ag takes care of their customers. Again, like I always tell you to do, make sure you remember the promo code BET975 and use it whenever you can because it's to your advantage. And oh, by the way, when there's not games going on like college football, like NFL football, like playoff baseball and soccer, well, there's also a live dealer standing by so you can do casino games at all hours of the night or anytime you feel like it. That's why they take care of their customers every step of the way. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag and use that promo code BET975.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Time to hand out some game balls yesterday in the NFL. Who are you handing out game balls to? 713-780-3776. Blankers, why don't you lead us off?
Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Joe and I were talking about this on Friday. This was the game of the weekend. We all talked about it, I think, the day before when we were doing the BZ Money. About this was a game that we wished was flexed to national. This was a game that everybody would have their eyes on, and unfortunately we all couldn't because it was on at the same time as the Texans game. But a game that I thought were the two of the best teams in the AFC and it would really be a slugfest, I think it was pretty clear-cut who the better team was, and they showed it. Josh Allen was great. Their offense was great. Their defense was pretty good. And the Bills made a statement that they weren't going anywhere, so I'll start there and say the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was great. Like, this was peak Josh Allen. We've seen this Josh Allen. This is the Josh Allen of why we think that he can win an MVP. It's the Josh Allen why many people think that he's capable of winning a Super Bowl. I don't think he can do it consistently over three games, the minimum you need to win a Super Bowl. But yesterday he was at his best. 320 yards, four tutters, ran for one more. He was fantastic. I'll give a game ball to the same vein to Stephon Diggs. Six catches, 120 yards, and three scores. Look, we were wondering, like, who's the cream of the crop in the AFC East, and I thought that was a statement win for the Buffalo Bills. They looked really, really good against the Dolphins, but a Super Bowl or bust for Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah, like, it definitely, that's what, you know, and they've earned that based on how good they've been over the years and what they've been able to do to try to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs and Mahomes, but he hasn't looked great early. That first game of the season was terrible. And for them to come out and do that to the hottest team in the NFL and the Dolphins was impressive.
It was. Really impressive win for the Buffalo Bills. My first game ball goes to Taylor Swift. She is bringing out the best in the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs with Taylor Swift at their game are 2-0. Chiefs might actually be something this year. Chiefs might actually get to a Super Bowl this year. Maybe they'll win it. Taylor Swift is bringing out the best and the Kansas City Chiefs. My game ball.
How did
Taylor
I not
Swift.
Know you were this over the top on being a Swiftie?
If you think this is me being over the top on a Swiftie as opposed to making fun of this whole thing, then you are incredibly wrong.
But I wanted to, if we're going to make the bit, then I'm going to go with it because I can't believe that we're still talking.
I don't think that was you going for the bit.
Okay, you never do. I'm sick and tired of Taylor Swift across the board. And so,
man, if you don't like Taylor Swift being at football games, then you're buzzkill, wet blanket.
That's me.
Yeah, this is the best story of the NFL all year. I mean, they're showing her each and every, like, going to break, out of break. Tirico's got lyrics and references ready to go. Unbelievable story.
Would he tip it off? He tipped off before the game that they were going to be focusing on it throughout the game. And then someone had the over-under on how many shots they had of her. At seven, or the final number was like 17.
Seems like you're paying more attention to it. Than
I heard it on
the
Today Show this morning.
See, look, you didn't change the channel.
Yeah, it's my wife's station. It's on all the time.
You didn't change the channel, huh? You're sitting there watching that segment on Taylor Swift.
No,
you're liking
I'm
it.
Rolling
you're
through the living room, the TV's on, and Tirico's on.
Uh-huh. My wife watches the Today Show too. I like the Today Show. It's pretty good for like morning television. I rarely watch it, but. If I have to watch a morning show, not the one on Apple TV, it's probably that.
Isn't it that Brittany Mahomes probably screwed the whole thing up? They were a far better team and well-oiled machine before Brittany Mahomes got into the box.
Huh?
When Brittany Mahomes was kept away from Taylor Swift, the team was much better. Yesterday, they said Brittany Mahomes was in there with.
I mean, they won.
Yeah, Mahomes looked terrible.
Yeah, Mahomes didn't play
all that. The offense was not great at all, and Mahomes was giving it away left and right.
If it weren't for Taylor Swift, they probably don't win that game. Oh, Joe!
He didn't have the most yards passing or rushing, and I know Deshaun Watson didn't play, but Lamar Jackson is playing really good football right now. 4 touchdowns this weekend. They are the cream of the crop of the AFC North. I think that's pretty clear. Like, they're playing good, and Lamar is...
And the Bengals suck.
Yeah.
Bengals are terrible. They've been telling us who they are each and every week. Hope we start believing that. The Browns, apparently Deshaun Watson was cleared to play and did not play.
I saw that.
They said he went through warm-ups.
I saw an hour ago, doctors cleared Deshaun Watson. He didn't feel like he could play. He didn't feel like he could give it a go.
Because I know that Kimberly Martin from ESPN said he was out there early. Everybody was watching him and that there was the expectation that he could play.
I think that was yesterday, right?
I think he could play, and he chose not to.
Yeah, which is a lot different than the, like, board an RV and ride to Jacksonville with a bruised lung.
It's a very different Deshaun Watson.
Unlike anything we've seen from Deshaun.
It's interesting, too, because, like, all of his money's guaranteed, unless it's not. Okay. Because, like, well, no. Because Mike Florio.
Get it out on it.
Mike Florio last week, as soon as, like, the face mask penalties happened, he got a leak of the contract that, like, if Deshaun Watson gets suspended from a game, during, like, from on-field action, they can remove the guarantees.
Yeah, Florio's being a hot take artist with this. They're not gonna trigger that.
I just wonder if there's other stuff in this contract that we don't know about.
Probably
and that's why
conduct off the field type of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like the KPJ contract that they wrote.
Banned.
Huh?
He got banned today.
Did he by the NBA?
No, by the Rockets.
Yeah, I saw that from the Rockets. They say he's not going to be a Rocket.
That's what the ESPN headline says. Kevin Porter Jr., banned.
That's a weird word to use.
But it is. Rockets.
And I also heard Rafael say he didn't know anything about anything, and there were no other incidents leading up to this.
I'll go game ball to the Eagles. I know they probably should have beat the Commanders a lot easier, but
a lot of
it's
game
a good
balls.
One. It's a good win.
A lot of game
How
balls.
Do we not give Derrick Henry one?
He was next on my list.
Oh.
Yeah, right. 22 carries, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, and threw.
Yeah.
A tutter.
Yeah, he looked
like vintage
for a guy
Derrick Henry.
That might have a lot of people thought was washed up. That was a big game and a big win for a team that not many people saw winning that football game.
The Bengals are lousy, man.
They're awful.
They're so bad. I don't know what's going on in Cincinnati, but they stink.
Well, and now you got Ja'Marr Chase speaking up too.
I mean, he got seven catches in that game. Like, I don't know why he's getting all diva-y.
But that means that you're going to start getting dissension in the locker room. You're going to start getting a lot of the actual side stuff you don't need right now.
Not good.
And that could be a washed-up season, especially devastating for a guy that said that they were going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl.
Maybe
they're tanking to replace T. Higgins.
When can we call my best friend Joe Burrow Chandler Parsons? Gets paid. Turns into a shell of himself.
He's got to get healthy first.
Why is he playing?
Because he knows that they're desperate.
I don't know why he's playing. He shouldn't
be playing. If you're going to lose games with him, lose games without him while he's hurt. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The team's lousy.
If he believes at a certain point when he gets right that they're still a Super Bowl caliber team, he can't sit out and know that they're just going to sit there and take L's and maybe not contend for a playoff spot.
But he's not right, and they are taking L's.
I don't think that's what they expected. That's why he was playing.
And at some point.
Any other game balls here? I got it here. I got a few here. Mark Andrews, 5 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. He deserves a game ball. You mentioned Lamar Jackson earlier. A.J. Brown, you gave one already to every Eagle. I'll give another one to A.J. Brown. He looks squeaky well, gets the grease.
How about
right?
The Cowboys?
9 catches, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Who in the Cowboys you want to give one to?
The whole team. The fact that they gave Bill Belichick the worst loss in his career.
Yeah, that was big. I didn't see that coming. These team game balls, guys.
Why not?
Because a game ball goes to one person, not the whole team. Although DeMeco did give one to the whole team.
Can I give one more team game ball?
I'm going to give one to a Cowboys Deron Bland. Two interceptions yesterday, ran one back for a touchdown. He had a really good game. No.
Why not?
Because it's lazy. Team game balls. Lazy.
DeMeco did it. You just said DeMeco did it.
DeMeco was lazy yesterday, giving a game ball to everybody.
I can't give this one to one person.
Who?
Us.
Us.
We are 3-0 this weekend so far. BZ Money.
Again.
We are 13-5-1 with one game left to go this week. If you're listening to BZ Money, we're making you money.
We're handing out winners.
Give it to us.
Handing out winners each and every week. 7007 Christian McCaffrey, 177 total yards, 4 touchdowns.
Really good.
How about Brock Purdy?
Only had one incompletion, right?
20 for 21.
Wow.
Brock Purdy was 20 for 21. I'm giving a game ball to Brock Purdy. We don't usually give a whole lot to defensive guys because we live in a fantasy football society, and it makes me sick. Not really. Khalil Mack had 6 sacks in a football game.
Unreal.
Yes,
what is the record for the most sacks in a football game? Really? Who did that? How do you get 6 sacks in a football game?
If you're going to, first guess, it's going to be Reggie White or
Lawrence
Taylor.
It's not. No, it wasn't Strahan.
Was it Merriman? No, it was Derek Thomas.
There you go.
Oh, he was
Derek
so
Thomas
good.
Had Woo, 7 sacks. Good. That's R.I.P. Isn't that crazy to have 6 sacks in one? That's a season.
Was he a Bear once, Joe?
That's a season, dude.
Did you know that the Bears are 3-18 since they traded Khalil Mack because he cost too much money?
Man, that's incredible to have 6 sacks in one football game.
Gruden,
they also haven't won a single game since they traded Roquan Smith.
Gruden and what was the NFL Network guy that was their GM? They knew what they were doing. Mike Mayock.
I liked him on draft coverage.
He was good on draft
coverage. But he's just he did so bad, apparently he's unhirable.
Max Crosby wasn't bad. No, it was his only hit. And Harrison Smith, Minnesota, had 14 tackles, 3 sacks.
He's good.
And that big win for the Vikings made us a little bit money on BZ Money. All right, our car wreck of the day presented by CarWreckTexas.com. What are some nominations? What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I like a good drink at the end of the day, especially a Monday. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of that rotation for me, and General Ben Spirits does it better than anybody else. How do they do that? Well, their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you will ever taste. Purification of General Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of General Ben vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or cask strength bourbon, and compare it to what you drink, and you will never go back. I've been a General Ben man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. It is so smooth, clean, eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for General Ben at the liquor store on your way home today. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar, or just head to General Ben head to the General Ben tasting room there in Alvin. Also, if you're going to an Astros playoff game, stop by General Ben's bar right when you walk in the Union Station entrance, and head to GentleBen.com. You know, at GentleBen.com, you can now order General Ben straight to your door. Head to the website, GentleBen.com, drop some items in your cart. They will deliver it right to your doorstep. General Ben, period. It's excellent song choice there, Joe George. He's blank. I'm Jeremy Branham. 713-780-3776. Get those car wrecks of the day sent in. Your nominations, 713-780-3776. Before we get to that, DeMeco Ryans, lazy, handing out game balls to the entire team. But let's grade the post-game speech after yesterday's Texans victory. Here's DeMeco.
Awesome job by you guys. This is what I envision, man, Texan football look like. It's dominating up front, running the ball how we want to run the ball. D-line attacking, dominating the line of scrimmage, swarming defense, explosive offense, and everybody excited about playing football. Love that. All right, that's what it feels like. Keep it there.
Yep. I keep it there. We got everybody got better this week, man. Yes, and this is what our team could be. Fast. Right? Yep. We got greatness in this room. Fast. Fast. Let's keep growing. Keep building. Keep leaning on each other. You guys got greatness. Right? Never forget that.
Yes,
I love coaching you guys. Proud of you guys. And that's just the start.
Come on.
That's just the start right there, fellas. Keep grinding. Love
changing
you guys, man. Awesome win.
Changing it.
Hey, let's get a game ball of everybody.
Hey! All right, grade the post-game speech, Blinkers.
Are we doing letters or numbers?
We're doing numbers. We're all over the place with our grades.
I know. I'm just asking. I mean, that's good. What I don't know.
We usually do numbers. I don't know why we went letter grade with the Astros regular season. We usually do number grades, though. Let's go number grade. Grade the post game speech from D'Amico Ryans.
I'm going to go a 9.
Oh, that's high.
I'd play for that dude anytime. The fact that he's got that locker room that together, and you could get that kind of feel good, and we got more to do, but. You know, the way he pumps them up and the way he keeps it real, I'm going to give him a 9.
There was a lot that I liked in that post-game speech. I like how he got really excited using the word excited. That kind of stuff is, like, very high S2-y. I thought it was a really good speech. The swarm, like, all that you needed was there. But he lost me by handing out game balls to the entire team. I dinged him points for handing out game balls to the entire team. I'm giving him a 6. It would have been an 8, but I'm dinging him 2 points for being lazy and giving game balls to the entire team. I do not like that. Give the game ball to a good player, not the entire team. That's lazy, D'Amico.
I think he just got overexcited to give to everyone.
He probably didn't have one in mind yet.
I think so too.
He's like, I don't have one in mind yet. Didn't say that, but was thinking that everyone gets a game ball. That's lack of preparedness.
He should have gave it to Kendrick Green
because he got hurt.
No, because he played really well.
Yeah,
like he played good again. Like he's
I need
been
to watch
impressive.
The film.
Stevie Nelson wasn't bad.
Stevie Nelson's really good. Shaq Griffin looks pretty good.
He looked really good.
Shaq Griffin looks good. I'm worried about that injury on Kendrick Green. Have y'all heard anything on that?
No,
I didn't hear anything post game. D'Amico's always really really quiet about injuries. He'll tell you something.
I kind of had a feeling he wouldn't be starting much more going forward anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna get an offensive line later this week. Not a conversation for today because they're gonna have some decisions to make on that offensive line. I'm assuming though that Kendrick Green's gonna be out.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
No, it looked bad.
Yeah.
And then the Josh Jones injury, like the hand, like I don't know if he's going to be back.
Yeah, the Green one, though, the way he wanted to try and walk it off, and there was just no way. That did not look good to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be available Sunday. I mean, we'll see. Well, injury report stuff comes out on Wednesday. Joe, did you give that grade? What was your number grade on that?
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
That's a good fence there, a 7.5. He gets half points here.
What's wrong with half points?
Grading. We've never done half points before. Well, usually we make strong stances.
Yeah. Well, we did minuses
7.
And pluses.
We did.
Just throwing that out there.
Touché. That's a great rebuttal. Nice counterpoint there, Blinker. Yeah. That's really well done.
Thanks, Blank.
You're welcome. At least I got your back.
I don't get a lot of those from you. Yeah,
that's well done. I tip my cap to you. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give you brick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day, brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com.
All right. What nominees we have? You have any nominees that we're adding to this list? All right, what we got?
I'm going to start off with our favorite team that they call it a rivalry in the state of Texas, the Texas Rangers. You only had to win one game. You only had one job to do, and you had plenty of bragging all season that you were doing along with it. You just had to win once. Not only did you not do that, you came up with all excuses all over the place. And you had everything from they didn't play their starters, and everybody's pointing fingers all over the place. Point it in the mirror. You crapped the bed, and now you got to go across the country to play the Rays in a 3-game series. Good luck, and I don't mean it. Take the L.
Okay, that's a good nomination. I like that. It's a strong nomination, too. Really, really sold it. It was well done. Steelers need to be on here. Giving up 30 points, 450 yards. Joe, you have any noms for the Car Wreck of the Day presented by CarWreckTexas.com?
I'm going to just do you guys a favor.
No?
My takes.
Nah,
no, you're not in it.
The Bears.
Yeah, you weren't that bad today at all.
The Bengals.
No,
it's really
no.
For the Bengals.
No, you're not getting nominated today. I
Why
see
are
what
you
you're
begging?
Doing, he's chasing for clout.
I'm
is
not.
What he's doing.
I've never felt worse about a pick than I do right now about the Bengals.
Oh, you picked him to go to the Super Bowl.
Picked him to
the
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's more bad take Boulevard, like bracket edition.
Okay,
it probably needs to be on there.
Don't we feel like the Mariners fans and the Seattle, I love crapping all over them, but the fact that they did all this, you hit Altuve, you give a standing ovation. You hit Chaz, and oh, by the way, the guy that replaces him hits the dong that really kicks you in the grape sack. And then you come back from all of that, and then your manager comes out with the stinky bitter beer face because your own fan hit your own pitcher and you thought something should be done about it.
Yeah.
And then you're the one that ends up on the outside looking in at the playoffs. And then you do the team that you supposedly hate so much a solid favor by winning your last game of the year. All on you, Seattle and your fans.
I think the fact that they took 3 of 4, though, and gave the Astros a big assist in winning the division, I don't know if we can put them on the car wreck of the day.
Like, I didn't put them as high as the Rangers, but I still think they should suck it.
Okay, we can put them on the nomination list. I'm not going to vote for Seattle because they helped the Astros out. Someone texted in, how about Bill Belichick? Worst loss that he's had in his career as
pretty
the head coach of the Patriots. Not a good look. Not a good look to
put on the Patriots. You know what's unfair, though? They said that, you know, when he had Brady, he won 77% of the time. Without Brady, it's something like 50-some percent. I mean, any coach, when you have Tom Brady, I was going to succeed. But Belichick's a pretty damn good coach.
But the rest of the NFL history, coaches without Tom Brady are about 50% without Tom Brady. How about Pat McAfee throwing up on game day?
Did he?
Car wreck of the day.
I forgot about that.
He threw up on game day. He said he ate something funny. He said he didn't agree with his stomach. There's a lot of Twitter rumors that he got a little bit too much to drink.
He definitely drank too much. Schefter.
A little too much to drink the night before.
Schefter would not be tweeting this if he didn't think it was a joke.
I think that Pat McAfee, I think this is a strong contender for the car wreck of the day. You show up to game day, which you know you have to be there early, and you can't handle your liquor.
You got to believe he's going to mix it up with the college kids when he goes to game day.
Not good. He's hanging out with college kids.
Drinking.
Professional. You know what he should have been doing, though? If he would have had some General Ben, he wouldn't have been hungover the next day.
I love Pat.
You don't get hangovers with General Ben.
I love Pat, but like nothing about him screams professional.
No.
Facts.
What is this?
It's a good point.
His signature thing is the black tank top?
Works for me.
He wears it under a sport coat.
It's brand.
It's a bizarre look.
For the brand.
It's his gimmick. It's what he does. He likes to be that kind of guy. I like McAfee too. A lot of people were out on McAfee.
His talk show's okay.
A lot of people don't like McAfee. They don't. A lot of people are banging on game day this past week. Honestly, because of McAfee, they talked about getting rid of that old Georgia linebacker, blanking on his name.
Pollock,
David Pollock.
Yeah, David. Yeah.
A lot of people were saying he was the best football mind on that show. They shouldn't have got rid of him.
Oh, they got rid of him.
Yeah, he's not on this.
He was part of the layoffs that just happened.
Yeah, McAfee took over 20 people's salaries. A lot of people banking
on Corso's still on the show?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah.
What do you watch Saturday mornings?
I don't. I go play basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Or I had to watch a doubleheader. My daughter played a doubleheader Saturday.
Well, that's good. How'd she do?
She did really well.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say she did bad so we could nominate her for car wreck of the day.
Nope. Bases loaded, triple, down two to win the game.
That's good. That's great for her. We can't put her on the car wreck of the day.
I know who I forgot.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
The official scorekeeper in Arizona.
Ooh, that's a great call.
I think that's the winner. Kyle Tucker has to protest it now. They went back and forth like 4 times.
They called it a triple originally
with a fielder's choice.
Then they changed it to an inside the park home run.
And then they reversed it back
to a triple with a fielder's choice.
And actually, no, I think the original one was a triple with an error.
So that would have been 30-30, right?
It was a triple with an error. It would have been his 30th home run. How is that a fielder's choice?
I think Kyle Tucker is going to win this and end with a 30-30.
How is it a fielder's choice? I don't understand where the fielder's choice comes into play here. Have you ever seen a fielder's choice with nobody on base?
No.
Other than, of course, the guy that's running. It would have been like hitting a ground ball to short. The shortstop's just like, you know what? I'm not going to throw this baseball. And you call that a fielder's choice after he reached first base. It's not a fielder's choice.
Yeah, who makes the ultimate decision? The league office?
They probably have it a guy.
Yeah, they have a guy there, but like that can overrule the Diamondbacks score.
Wouldn't they do it right after the game?
There's probably a statute of limitations on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it isn't done by soon after the end of the game, can they still do it?
Did you know that every dugout has a phone up to the press box? And they are not bashful about calling upstairs to let them know they didn't like the scorer's decision.
The players themselves can do it?
It's usually
a representative or a coach.
It's usually not the player.
Okay.
A lot of times it's a coach. And a lot of times they get their way. Now, Major League Baseball, because of betting and like daily fantasy sports and all these prop bets, they've kind of been pretty strict on like one guy.
Yeah.
If there's something in question, they go to that guy, and that guy's going to make the ultimate decision.
Our boy Trey can be swayed.
Trey's one of many.
Yeah.
Trey's one of many that they have over there.
He's really good.
All right, so who are we giving the car wreck of the day to? Presented by CarWreckTexas.com.
I give it to the Rangers.
I'm going to give it to the scorekeeper.
I'm scorekeeper.
Kyle Tucker is missing out on 30 on the 30-30. Scorekeeper, whoever you are, you're our car wreck of the day presented by CarWreckTexas.com. If you or someone you know has been injured in a wreck, give Hollingsworth Law Firm a call right now. 713-999-8773 or just head over to CarWreckTexas.com. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brad. I'll talk to you tomorrow.